The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Patriots postgame show, powered by CLNS Radio. My name is Mike Alonja. I'm here with my good buddy Bill Bodell, and we have plenty of stuff to talk about. Patriots lose to the Philadelphia Eagles, 35-28. It was a tough loss. Patriots put a good fight on at the end, tried to come back, win. They were down 21 points in the fourth quarter. Defense got them the ball back with a minute left. In the end, they just could not close the deal. Tom Brady throws two interceptions. Patriots lose back-to-back games for the first time since weeks 2 and 3 of the 2012 season. It was a tough loss. Personally, I got a lot of problems with how things went down today in all facets of the game. But Bill, let's hear from you. I'm sure you got the same issues that I do. What do you think about today's game? Awful, awful loss.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. Absolutely terrible. Terrible team performance overall, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, a lot of injuries. We can't blame all the injuries. They just did not show up today. They're just not the same team. Did not look the same at all. It's absolutely terrible. Special teams, I don't know. I've never seen that bad of a special teams performance by this team either. So that's something they definitely get to address. You know, we always hear Bill talk about all three phases of football, and that's one they definitely did not prepare for this week with the Eagles.
No, and I definitely agree with you that I've never seen special teams this bad by the Patriots. I've got a couple interesting notes for you, actually, that I picked up during the game. The first time the Patriots have had a punt block returned for a touchdown against them since November 22nd of 2009 against the New York Jets. First time the Patriots have given up a punt return touchdown since December 31st, 2006, Pac-Man Jones. Just to bring you back how far ago that was. It was just a lot of firsts that you don't want to have happen in this game. You know, first time the Patriots have ever, you know, if they had come back and won, it would have been the first time they ever came back and won from 21 points down in the fourth quarter. Just, they just put themselves in such poor positions from really the beginning of the game. I mean, The offense started off. They did not have a good game to start. That, you know, they two straight punts to start the game, a three and out to start. You know, they gave up a couple big plays on defense. Darren Sproles was an issue the entire game. There's just too many things to count. The special teams was just god awful. No blocking. You know, I don't know what it was. Maybe they just didn't come to play today. I'm not really sure how else you can explain it. It's just. The offensive line was terrible. You know, the only person who had a good game this entire day was James White. You know, and you can't have that happen. Tom Brady throws two picks for the first time, and I can't even remember when the last time he threw two interceptions in the same game was. You know, so it was all around just a poor game. Danny Amendola did not look like he was 100% coming back from injury. And, you know, the offense looks entirely different without Rob Gronkowski. It's almost frightening how different the offense looks without him in there. And, I don't know. I had a lot of faith in the defense. You know, they got us the ball back. They did their job. And in the end, the offense just couldn't get it done for them today.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. You know, it was just terrible. Terrible. Like you said, James White really the only guy who did stand out as a good performer. You know, Brady tried forcing that first interception. That was just a terrible play on his part. Tried throwing Amendola in double coverage right at the one. I think he had Chandler open in the end zone also, you know, he's just trying to force it. Then that second one, I don't know where the hell he was throwing the ball to. I'm not sure if him and LaFell were just not on the same page, but he was a good 15, 20 yards off. And, you know, what do you have, you know, he's when LaFell is not really the number one out there, you got to make sure you guys are on the same page at all times because he's getting so much more targets with the losses of Edelman and Gronk right now. You know, also, like when I said James White, he played well, almost had that second touchdown of the game when he good went down to one, which led to the pick six from Brady and Amendola. But yeah, like, just terrible offensive execution today. You know, coming into the game, I saw it was insane stat coming into. I think the Eagles allowed like 293 yards the past two games on the ground. Something insane. I can't remember the exact number, but I was really surprised they did not try running the ball more with Brown, because it seemed like at the beginning of the game they were doing it pretty well.
Well, look, I'm looking at the box score right now. So I mean, you run through it and you look at it and you say, okay, Tom Brady was 29 of 56 for 312 yards, three touchdowns and two picks, and he also had a 36-yard reception in this game, which we'll talk about in a second, because I thought that was ridiculous, but. And then the team rushed 25 times for 103 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, if you just look at the box score, you say, wow, I mean, the Patriots throw for over 300 yards, three touchdowns, rush for over 100 and a touchdown. I mean, there's no way they lose that game. There's no way they lose that game. And then you look and you say, okay, well, one of the picks went back for a touchdown. There's 7 points right there. Now you're down to a tie game, 28-28. The punt block for a touchdown, there's another one. There's, you know, 28-21. The punt return for a touchdown. That's another, the Patriots should have won this game 28-14 with no issues whatsoever. And they end up losing 35-24, give up 21 points on just poor decisions. I thought both interceptions by Tom Brady were terrible decisions, like you mentioned. Throwing in a double coverage, you can't do that. I have no idea. Jeff Cain mentioned this a little bit last week on the show when I was doing it with him after the Denver game. What is the deal with the let's just throw the ball long bombs down the field to nobody strategy that we've been having the past couple of weeks? We say it all the time. There's no down the field threat. There's no down the field threat. Well, there really isn't a down the field threat on this team. Brandon LaFell is not. Don't try to convince me that he is. And all we're doing is throwing long seam routes and deep balls down the sideline to guys, and Brady ends up throwing interceptions and they're incompletions. For whatever reason, we're not getting pass interference calls. A couple blatant ones that were missed in this game. A blatant false start that was missed on this on Philadelphia at the end of the game. So, you know, officiating was an issue again. I don't want to put it on the officiating because the Patriots played a terrible game. But that's just an issue in general. I mean, it did not look good today. Like I said, if you look at the stats, they look pretty good. LeGarrette Blount rushed 13 times to 54 yards. You're right. They should have gone to him more. Even Brandon Bolden had three rushes for 22 yards. That's over 7 yards a carry. You got to keep giving him the ball. You know, Philly showed that they couldn't stop the run, and you know, they couldn't really stop the pass once Brady started really getting into it. But you know, if you look at the stats, I stopped keeping track at one point, but you know, in the about halfway through the fourth quarter, but Tom Brady had been hit, you know, 12 to 15 times. And I stopped counting at 12, so I'm going to say 12 to 15 times he was hit in this game in the pocket. And, you know, he was only sacked, he was only sacked 4 times. But still, you get hit 15 times in the pocket. The offensive line had a terrible game today.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. Absolutely terrible. Especially when right now when you have all these injuries to your, you know, to your key guys on offense. No Deion Lewis, no Edelman, no Gronk. You need to give Brady a little bit more time to get, you know, get these guys open, like Keyshawn Martin. Demaryius Johnson, I think that's what his name was, who they signed this week. You know, these guys aren't, you know, they don't have the same chemistry with Brady as Edelman or Gronk. You know, Brady getting no time. He's getting hit every single play. It's not good for the offense. It's not good. Brady's the last guy we need to be losing on this team right now with all the injuries. You know, just absolutely terrible. Same stat as it was around 12, 15 times, and that was like, I think that was on like the first drive we had to come back to tie when we were down by three. So he must probably got hit probably another 3, 4, 5 times. He's we can't have that. And then Josh Klein going down. That's if he ends up being hurt, that could be another big loss. Cause he's been a very good offensive lineman for them so far this year. Very consistent in the middle of the line.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was getting blown up tonight. He did not play a good game for sure, but it would obviously, you know, just depth-wise, it would be a loss. I've never been a huge Josh Klein fan. I will fully admit that. But still, you know, losing a body on the offensive line at this time of the year is going to be an issue no matter who it is. But, Bill, I'm looking at these stats. I'm looking at the New England receiving stats, and I'm saying, how on earth did the Patriots lose this game? James White, 10 catches for 115 yards and a touchdown. That's Deion Lewis right there. Danny Amendola, 7 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. Scott Chandler, 4 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. Keyshawn Martin, 3 catches for 45 yards. and Brandon LaFell, 4 catches for 27 yards and several critical drops, like always. So even with the Brandon LaFell drops, the Patriots should have won this game. Look at those stats. I mean, that's just unheard of. I mean, you have to put it on the special teams. You have to put it on them. You know, terrible blocking on the blocked punt, terrible blocking up front, terrible kick coverage on the blocked punt for a touchdown. Both of them came at critical times after, you know, you got forced to a 3-and-out, and then they come in, they block they score a touchdown, they return a punt, 83 yards for a touchdown. That's, you just can't have that happen. And, you know, Matthew Slater went down at the beginning, you know, early in the first quarter. He ended up coming back in the game, but I didn't really see him after that. You know, I saw him make a couple of plays, but he wasn't making an impact like he usually does in the kicking game. I'm not going to put it on him by any means, but special teams as a whole was the issue in this game, because the defense played well. They got you the ball back when you needed it. And look, I just gave you the offensive stats. The Patriots played well on offense. They did. No matter, it was an ugly looking game, but you can't argue with 348 yards through the air and 103 yards on the ground. You just can't argue with that. It was all special teams.
Well, I agree and disagree, though. I mean, the stats can lie at times. You know, they're on the field a lot because of the two special teams. That's two positions right there you give away from the Eagles. You know, the 83-yarder and the block punt. That's two possessions right there they give away. And then they drive down the field, throw a pick six. So it is on the offense's fault as well. I think, you know, the stats look good on paper, but doesn't fully tell the story. But, yeah, absolutely, with the special teams, you know, can't be giving up an 83-yard punt return. You know, that's a lot of room. You should have – everybody should be able to get down there. At least, you know, at least get them – I don't know, Dan Sproles is one of the best punt returners in the game, very small, quick guy, like Deion Lewis was for the past. But 83 yards, it's unacceptable. And then I hated that call at the beginning of the game when they're up 14 doing that little onside kick or whatever the hell they wanted to call. That was absolutely
rugby
terrible.
The rugby kick, yep.
Yeah, the rugby kick, yeah, with Ebner. That was just terrible. You kick the ball away. The defense was playing good at that time, and Philly was killing themselves with penalties. They'd go, you know, they'd run twice down our throats, get 9 yards, but then it'd be backed up by a third down penalty, and then they had to punt. Stick with that. Stick with the defense was playing very well then and really for the whole game. And the offense and special teams lost this game tonight, in my opinion.
And just to remind everybody, you can call in on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to let you guys know. We're taking your calls throughout the entire show. But, I mean, I see what you're saying when, you know, the stats can lie, and I definitely, you know, agree with you that the Pats gave away possessions, and that's, you know, that's the reason why we lost the game. I'm pretty sure we can agree on that, that the Patriots gave away the possessions, and that's how they lost the game. But, you know, looking at the, you know, Darren Sproles, you mentioned Darren Sproles, he was an issue from the first snap of the game, I thought. No one could cover him. Jamie Collins, he didn't look like he was 100%. He wasn't flying around like he usually is, and now granted, maybe it just looked that way because Darren Sproles is so laterally quick and can make things happen, but no linebacker could match up with Darren Sproles in this game. And that's usually the case. He's a really good player. But, you know, the Pats had no answer for that. You know, also didn't really have an answer for, you know, the tight end position. Zach Ertz, Brent Celek, even some, you know, Rashad Matthews. I mean, is it Rashad Matthews? Who's kind of a bigger wide receiver? Jordan Matthews, excuse me.
Jordan Matthews.
Wide receiver.
Yep.
Yeah, bigger wide receiver, kind of more of a tight end built type guy. You know, they had issues matching up with him. I thought, you know, Malcolm Butler played a pretty decent game. You know, had a couple big pass breakups, but he also gave up a touchdown catch. And, you know, the secondary could have played better, I guess I should say. I wasn't as impressed with them as I was impressed with them maybe last week when I thought they actually did play a good game and just made a couple bad plays. I thought this game they actually played kind of poorly. I thought the linebacking core played poorly as well. I thought it was really on the front seven because the, you know, Philly didn't run the ball well, you know, for most of the game until the very end when they really started kind of getting a couple big chunk plays. But, you know, DeMarco Murray, again, look, 8 rushes for 24 yards. That guy was the leading rusher in the whole league last year. You know, Darren Sproles finished with 15 carries for 66 yards, but, you know, his longest rush was 13 yards. You know, the Pats really, they really did kind of bottle up the run for the most part, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that Chip Kelly's running, the way he runs the ball laterally like that, I do not think that's going to work in the NFL. You know, maybe with Kenyon Barner, if Kenyon Barner's your lead back because he's so fast, but, you know, that's not going to last. I think they're using DeMarco Murray terribly, to be honest. But, you know, the bottom line is they did get the job done. They finished the game with 128 rushing yards. You know, Sam Bradford only threw for 120 yards in this game. He only got sacked one time. And, you know, that's a bad look on the defense as a whole. You can say they play well, and yeah, they only gave up 14 points, if you think about it. But still, they only got to Sam Bradford one time. Philly's offensive line has been not good this year. They haven't been able to generate any offense, and here they are generating, you know, almost 300 yards of total offense against you in the limited time that they were out on the field. Because, you know, like you said, they gave possessions away. The Patriots did, and they were on the field for so long. But that's also, you know, Philly got almost 300 yards of total offense in two less possessions, you know. So defense did not play a good game either, I thought. You know, whether the stats say it or not, Sam Bradford only throws for 120. They only rush for 128. The stats, there's another example where they lie right there.
Yeah, absolutely. But I thought that was a great point you brought up about the sack number. That's what I was going to bring up before. If you didn't, this defense, you know, when they're at their best is when they're getting after the quarterback. When you have Jones, Sheard, Ninkovic, Brown, Branch, all those guys getting after the quarterback. One sack tonight, that's unacceptable, I think, for this team. That's when, you know, the whole talk around, you know, the whole offseason, the whole coming into this year was, you know, after not re-signing Brown or Revis, you know, we're going to build up the front seven to get after the quarterback. And they've been doing that very well so far this season. And tonight they did not do that at all. The one sack they had came from Gerard Mayo, who came up the middle. Sam Bradford. I saw some pressure at times from Chandler Jones from the right side and Nick from the left. But overall, there's really not that much pressure coming from that team. And I think that's what they really need to do. You brought up, you know, the front seven is kind of on them tonight. I think it's really been on them for most of this year. You know, last week they did play very well. Ryan and Butler. I think Butler played pretty well tonight again. Didn't really see Ryan too much. Maybe that's a good thing, being covered in his man. But yeah, overall, I think that's one big key I think they need to take away from this is when addressing situations this week with film is that they need to get after the quarterback more, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of the secondary, I think the issue was more with the safety play because, like I said, it was definitely they had matchup issues with the tight ends. You know, Philly doesn't really have that second wide receiver now that Macklin's gone, DeSean Jackson's gone. I mean, sure, that Nelson Agholor, the rookie out of USC, I mean, he's a good player, but he's young and he hasn't been able to really make an impact on the team yet this year. So really your only wide receiver threat is Jordan Matthews, and even he is more of a tight end, in my opinion. It's more of his style. He's not that fast burner kind of wide receiver. He's more of a big, tough possession wide receiver. And then you have Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, who are both, you know, receiving tight ends. So I think that it was more the safeties that had kind of the issues with you know, coverage in this game. You know, you didn't hear Patrick Chung's name too much, but I think that's good and bad. Because Patrick Chung is usually in the middle of everything. He's usually making plays. He's usually making tackles in the middle of the field. And he wasn't really, which makes me think, you know, maybe he was out of position throughout, you know, some points of the game. Now, I don't want to say he was definitely out of position because I haven't, you know, I didn't spotlight him and watch him on the All-22s or anything like that. But still, I think, you know, he could have made some plays. He didn't. I think McCourty definitely could have played better in this game. The tight ends are what got you in this game. Zach Ertz caught a touchdown pass. You know, Brent Celek had a couple big catches later in the game. So I think that might have been the issue. Riley Cooper is your only other wide receiver threat, and he only had one catch in this game. So, you know, safeties were really what I was talking about. Malcolm Butler, like you said, I think he played a pretty good game. Logan Ryan, it's always good when you don't hear his name because it means he's not getting burned by anybody. You know, You missed Dante Hightower out there. You really did. Whether it was in the running game or the passing game, you know, you mentioned Gerard Mayo got that sack on that play. That's usually, you know, Dante Hightower flying through that A-gap right there and making that. They run that blitz play all the time with Dante Hightower. So, I mean, it's nice to see Gerard Mayo get home like that and make some plays. But still, you definitely missed Hightower's presence out there. You can definitely see the difference when, you know, let's at the beginning of the season when you had Hightower and Collins out there at the same time. You could bring in Freeney, you could bring in Mayo, and you could kind of rotate other guys in with those two, and you really had a dominant linebacking core. Now you see when you have only one of them in there, or, you know, last week when, like, neither of them were in there, you know, that's definitely an issue You can't just rely on, you know, a slowed down Gerard Mayo and a not as talented, frankly, Jonathan Freeney. Now, Freeney's a good player. He's a nice player and everything, but he's clearly not as talented as Hightower or Jamie Collins. So, you know, I think Hightower's absence in this game, I think it could have been a lot different. Now, we've already mentioned special teams was what lost this game, but I think Hightower's presence really was an issue for the defense today.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. You know, Hightower, he's overall their best defensive player, in my opinion, especially in the run game. He's kind of has like that old Brandon Spice type. He's going to get after you in the run game. He's going to clog that hole. You know, he's big. He's like, I think he's 6'2", 270. He's, you know, he can move. You know, he's going to stop you from running the ball, especially up the middle and to the outside. He's quick. It showed last week. I don't remember the number of the snap at the moment right now, but after last week compared to before, I think the Broncos were letting up for a lot. We're rushing for like 3.1 yards a carry, if that, and then it was like upwards of 5 to 6 with Hightower off the field after his injury. And that just shows, you know, how important he is to this defense, especially in the running game and in the passing, because when he can, you know, when he can follow the running back or get up the middle, that also frees up Collins to either, you know, do the opposite, go drop into zone coverage, or blitz after the quarterback. And I think having both those 1-2 guys are great combinations with each other. And, you know, right now, not having Hightower tonight would really hurt this team. And hopefully we can get him back, because we'll definitely need that going in. You know, we need him healthy, but we definitely need him going forward.
Yeah, just looking at the defensive stats, gave you the offensive stats, want to give you the defensive ones. Jamie Collins led the team in tackles today with 8 total tackles, only 3 of them solo. You know, maybe that's why you didn't really hear much from him. Same with Devin McCourty, only 3 solo tackles, 7 total. Logan Ryan, just to mention, 3 tackles today. Now, maybe that was because they were running the ball to the opposite side of the field and they weren't throwing it to his receiver. But still, you know, that's probably why you didn't hear much of his name today. But another quick update, Carolina just beat New Orleans 41-38 to remain undefeated. They are now 12-0 and they remain the only undefeated team in the NFL. And it looks like, man, look, Tom Brady, you know, threw 2 interceptions today, didn't have a very good game. From what I saw, Cam Newton threw 4 touchdowns at least, and he might have 5. Scored the final.
I believe it was 5 now.
So, I mean, look, that he might win MVP at this point. And, you know, that's a conversation for a different day, but he's lighting the world on fire right now.
Yeah, he is. He's been playing great. He's definitely deserving of it at this point in the season.
And you know,
331 yards and 5 touchdowns. Just looking at it now.
Wow. Yeah. See, look, and he's been putting those up. He's had a couple big games like that. He brought them back. You know, today from down, they kept falling behind New Orleans. Every time they went ahead, New Orleans came back and took the lead, and he brought them back. So, look, if anyone, like you said, he's definitely deserving of it this year. You know, if Tom Brady had continued to win, and they maybe if the two teams finished with the same record and they compare numbers, you know, it could come down to a few iffy, you know, Cam Newton made a couple big plays and led his team back to a victory against this team, and Tom Brady had a chance, couldn't end up getting the job done. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe the MVP race comes down to this week. You know, Cam Newton comes back, wins a game late for his team. Tom Brady has a chance to win a game late for his team, and he can't pull it off. And look, the way the NFL voters are, maybe that's how it's going to work out this year. So, but anyway, that's a conversation for a different day. I'm sure we can get into that down the line. You know, looking at Philly wins today. They improved to 5-7. So they are in a 3-way, you know, depending on what Washington does. If Washington wins tomorrow, Washington stays in first place. But New York, Philadelphia, Washington, 5-6, 5-7, 5-7. That NFC East is still. And if Dallas wins tomorrow night, they're only a game out. So, I mean, that division is just a friggin' mess over there. It's almost comical to watch. And, you know, the Dallas-Washington game, as unappealing as it might be tomorrow night, you know, you might want to watch the game to see who has the upper hand in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it has serious playoff implications. You know, you never really think that on a Monday night football game with a team that's 5-7 and 3-9, or 5-6 and 3-8, so whatever the records are at this point.
5-6, 3-8, yep.
Yeah, you definitely would not think that, you know, looking at this point in the season, you would see something like that.
I know, it's funny to think about just how terribly awful the NFC East is. And look, the Giants lost the game too. They just gave the game away to the Jets. They were up by 10 points late, and they gave that game away. So it's definitely a mess over there. Dumpster fire for sure. Just to remind everybody, you can call us on the FanDuel phone lines. We're taking your calls throughout the rest of the show at 929-477-2386. Let's talk a little bit about next week, because next week just got a whole lot more interesting, and really the rest of the season just got a whole lot more interesting with this loss. The Patriots are now 10-2. The Denver Broncos won today, and they're 10-2. And the Bengals won today, and they're 10-2. So, and the Bengals and the Broncos have to play each other later in the year. So you, as the Patriots, need to win every game for the rest of the season going forward if you're going to have a shot at the AFC first round bye, first number one overall seed. And look, you're going to need that. Brock Osweiler leading the way for Denver. You know, they're 3-0 right now, and they're rolling. They're going to keep winning games. He's got a strong arm, and, you know, they're not to be messed with. And Cincinnati just keeps winning. Now, granted, they blew out Cleveland today, who's got nobody, but still, they're riding high. They got a lot of confidence. You know, the Patriots are looking a lot more vulnerable at this point. You know, looking across the league in both conferences, you know, Green Bay won a game this on Thursday night. They're knocking on the door. Arizona's 10-2. They won today. You know, Carolina, like we mentioned, undefeated. There's a lot of riff. You know, Seattle playing really well today. They blew out Minnesota 38-7 today. Minnesota was leading the division in the NFC North. You know, there's a lot of teams that could potentially knock off the Patriots going forward. And it's, you know, you got to get healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a big key with the key right now. You know, Edelman most likely won't be back for the playoffs. I think if he got back, it'd be for week 17 game, which we'll have to see how it looks at that point. Could have serious complications winning that game for, you know, a bye and as a home field advantage, or it could be nothing. We don't know at this point. Gronk, hopefully Gronk comes back next week, because you can just tell the whole offense is so different without him out there right now. You know, no one can replace or fill in his void. He's just he's elite. That's what he is, and you can't, you know, he's one of the best overall football players in the league, and he's not coverable. It takes, having it out there, it takes away at least two defenders that are covering somebody else. You know, having two guys in Gronk, could, you know, without him there, puts another guy in the zone where LaFell's going, in the zone where Amendola's going. You know, it changes so much. Just especially with games coming up, you know, against the Jets, always play us tough. We had a, you know, big come from behind victory today against the Giants. You know, Miami week 17, we'll have to wait and see how, you know, they've been struggling, but, you know, they always play us tough, especially in Miami, and we'll have to see, you know, what have implications that has with, you know, us and Dan Campbell potentially, you know, trying to win to save it, his interim job, make it a full time job. And then with the Houston, always, you know, has a good defense. Bill O'Brien, former Patriots coach, definitely knows, you know, the Patriots system to a degree. And could that, what we could try running, having, you know, then having J.J. Watt, that's always key for a team.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned, you know, how different the offense looks with Rob Gronkowski. That's what struck me, really, you know, from right away was, and, you know, looking at Scott Chandler, he had a pretty good game. He was 4-16 yards and a touchdown, which, you know, if you started him on FanDuel this week, you were feeling pretty good about it, because he was the hot waiver wire pickup for a lot of people with Gronkowski out. Speaking of FanDuel, let's get a little a word from our sponsor, FanDuel. Like I said, we can call us all the show long on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. And FanDuel says, listen up, NBA fans, the season is back. And that means so is one day fantasy action over at FanDuel.com. If you think you know basketball, you can prove it over at FanDuel.com. Now, I haven't really been getting into enough fantasy basketball yet in the season. I must admit, now I've been stuck on fantasy football, really, because, you know, it's getting down to the end of the season. You want to get your last few weeks of fantasy football in before fantasy basketball really takes over. But, you know, there's still plenty of guys you can look at. You know, one-day fantasy basketball leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts at FanDuel. You can pick a team of 9 players with just players from that night's games, and payouts will be in your account the next morning. You can play every day or whenever you want. Doesn't matter. Leagues start at just $1. You know, guys like Kevin Durant, you know, 28 points a game. Steph Curry, who is just absolutely lighting the world on fire right now. You know, James Harden, who will score you a lot of points. Basically, just don't get Kobe if you're picking up guys for FanDuel. So, I mean, plenty of guys that you can pick from available any night of the week whenever they're playing. FanDuel isn't just for huge tournaments. You can play against your friends any night you want. Just create a private league and let the trash talk begin. Join over 1 million other fans who have already won money playing fantasy sports on FanDuel.com. We got a little deal for you guys. You go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use my code Celtics and sign up right now. You got a special offer. You can sign up and we'll match. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. So you get a bonus up to $200. You throw $200 in there, they'll give you $200. You'll have $400 to wager out there. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code Celtics. That's C-E-L-T-I-C-S. Don't forget to use my code Celtics. That's C-E-L-T-I-C-S. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So, you know, we were talking, you mentioned Houston, and that's obviously the next game coming up next week. It got a whole lot more interesting. Now, Houston lost today 30-21 to the Buffalo Bills, and they were down pretty big early and ended up coming back and actually making a game of it. There's a couple things about Houston that make me a little nervous. Now, if the Patriots had won this game today, now let's say that the Patriots had rolled over Philly and were coming in confident to play Houston, I would be a little more nervous, and I would think, you know, that might be, you know, what they call, quote-unquote, the trap game or whatever. Yep. You know, I'm not really that nervous about it at this point just because, you know, after such a terrible performance by, you know, special teams, offense and defense, really, no one really played really well. Like we said, the stats are lying. They look good. They weren't good. The special teams was awful. After a game like that, Bill Belichick is going to ride these guys so hard for the next 6 days until they kick off in Houston. It's not even going to be funny. It's going to be cruel what he's going to do to them this week. And I just think they're going to come out next week, and I think they're going to roll over Houston at this point. I mean, Houston doesn't have much of a secondary. Their only claim to fame is the pass rush. You know, they can stop the run pretty well, but we haven't really been running the ball that much anyway. I think Tom Brady can light up the secondary. The key is going to be the offensive line, in my opinion. You know, who's going to be available, first of all? Josh Klein, you got to look at that. And then, you know, who's going to be able to stop J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Brian Cushing up the middle? That's Vince Wilfork, who knows your team and knows the offensive lineman. You know, the coaching situation with, you know, you got Romeo Crennel, Bill O'Brien, you know, a lot of guys that are from the New England organization. You know, there are some things that make you a little nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. Houston, you know, they're not a terrible team on paper. You know, they're a very inconsistent team, streaky. Brian Hoyer, you know, another former Patriot playing quarterback right now, does all right there. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is one of the best wide receivers in the league. He's been phenomenal. That'll be, you know, a big key. We'll be trying to be stopping him in, next week, just like it was. We had to focus on OBJ, Odell Beckham, a few weeks ago. Like you said, the real key point will be trying to stop J.J. Watt, because he's just a monster, and I don't know who will be able to stop him on our offensive line. If they, you know, they're struggling against the Eagles, they have one of the worst defenses in the league tonight. They could not block at all. Brady got hit. We had the estimation of, what, 12, 15 times around there. If that's going to happen with the Eagles, what's going to happen next week when you have J.J. Watt coming from one side and J.V. and Clowney coming from the other? Two guys who are just, you know, physical freaks of nature and just great all-around, you know, football players, and especially getting after the quarterback. So that'll be definitely key to help having Gronk back, either have him, you know, maybe block a little bit, or, you know, also help, you know, just get open, give Brady, you know, Brady's going to need that quick release, that, you know, that under 2 seconds every play next week he's going to need. So that's really going to be a key. Hopefully James White will be able to, you know, continue on from his game today and really just continue to step up going forward for next week and, you know, in the playoffs, because, know, that's something that was really been missing since we lost Deion Lewis was, you know, the running, you know, the pass catching back. You know, we saw LeGarrette Blount do it a little bit, Brandon Bolden a little bit, no one really, and White a little bit. No one really ever stepped up, took over completely, and you know, like James White tonight.
Yeah, and you know, he's scored 3 touchdowns in the past few weeks, so he's definitely getting a better feel. He certainly must be gaining confidence, you know, as he's getting more snaps in the offense and scoring. You know, he had a couple of nice big long runs today too after the catch, which can only build up his confidence, which is what you want for, you know, for a young player. Like we said, 10 catches today for 115 yards and a touchdown. Look, that's the kind of production that you need out of that pass-catching back position in this offense. You know what I mean? That's just how it is. Maybe not 10 catches for 115 yards, but, you know, you're going to need 5, 6, 7 catches for a good 60 yards and a touchdown. What did we say the past couple weeks? Oh, James White is that guy that he'll get the ball and he'll get hit and he'll go down. Deion Lewis is that guy who can, you know, take a hit and he can extend the play and get, you know, turn a 5-yard catch into a 15-yard catch. Well, James White did that a couple of times in this game. You know, he broke a couple tackles, turned a 5, 7-yard catch into a 15-yard catch. You know, his longest reception of the game was 25 yards, 10 catches on 13 targets. So, you know, he's catching the ball when it's thrown to him. You're definitely going to need to evolve him more. Last week I was on the fence because I do think that LeGarrette Blount has been playing not poorly, but he has not been playing as well over the past few weeks. He hasn't been getting it done, you know. I feel like he's indecisive when he's trying to run the ball. He's not really sure where to go, when to make cuts. And you even saw it today. Sure, he made it work with, you know, the couple, you know, cutbacks to the other side of the line and got a 10-yard gain. But, you know, to me that shows indecisiveness. And I'm not necessarily a huge fan of that. And especially since he's not like a Shady McCoy type guy who, when you see him cut back like that, he might take it to the house. That's not LeGarrette Blount's style. If anything, he's going to gain a few extra yards and, you know, keep it moving. So having James White come through today and make, you know, make plays like that. He only rushed the ball 2 times for 4 yards, but that's not what he's for. He's that guy. He's Deion Lewis. He's 10 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown. And that's what you're going to need from him. You know, 13 targets, Brady's clearly saying, you know, with his actions that, you know, we need to go to this guy. We need to make this work no matter what, whether it's James White, whether it's Brandon Bolden, whether it's Travaris Cadet, whoever else, Trey Williams, who is inactive tonight, but we probably will see next week, I'm assuming at this point. Someone is going to have to step in and fill that role and be the guy who takes those targets and makes those plays.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, White was doing that tonight. Hopefully he can do that, you know. Hopefully, if we can get, you know, Edelman back maybe towards the end of the year, maybe, you know, depending on how the season and everything goes, looking for the playoffs, definitely ground backs. We need to get the targets for Brady. I think he threw it around 56, 59 times tonight. He's throwing to Keyshawn Martin. He's throwing to, you know, Scott Chandler's a good second tight end, but he's not, you know, he shouldn't really be a starting tight end, really, especially in the receiving game. You know, Demario Johnson, James White, Brandon Bolden, like, these guys aren't the true, you know, true guys that Brady should be throwing the ball to. He definitely needs to have his Gronk back. Definitely needs to have somebody back. But just definitely having White, you know, step up and take that role is definitely going to be key for this offense going forward.
I'll tell you what, when Demaris Johnson stepped back there and returned a punt, I was like, who on earth is that guy? I saw number 15, and I was like, did Chris Harper make it all the way back up to the team already? I was like shocked. I had no idea what was happening. I was like, who is this guy? But yeah, you're really right. I mean, you got to get some guys back. Danny Amendola. You know, I don't think he was 100% tonight. Not surprising. You know, he only missed one game, sprained his knee. So, you know, it might take a couple of weeks for him to get back up to full speed. But still, you're going to need that. You're going to need him to be able to make plays. Now, he still had 7 catches in this game for 62 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, can you really complain that much? You know, I don't know. Scott Chandler, like we said, had a good game. 4 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. Even Keyshawn Martin, 3 catches for 45 yards. So, I don't know. I'm torn. But I don't know. Are the stats lying to me that much? Because I understand that, you know, they obviously didn't play well enough to win the game on offense, defense, and especially not on special teams. But still, I'm looking at these stats and I'm saying, look, Keyshawn Martin, you know, is average. That's 15 yards a catch right there. Scott Chandler, that's almost 15 yards a catch right there. So, you know, I'm I'm liking what I'm seeing, and you're definitely going to – if they can keep this up and Danny Amendola can get a little – maybe get, you know, he was 7 catches on 13 targets. If he has 9 or 10 catches, you know, maybe this – maybe the story is a little different. You know, Scott Chandler, 4 catches on 7 targets. Keyshawn Martin had 8 targets in this game. So, you know, this – Brandon LaFell had 9 targets and only caught 4 passes. So, you know, I've got serious issues with him and how he drops the football. He had – there was one on that slant play. I'm not sure if you remember, but the slant play late in the game where there was an absolute no-doubt first down, possibly 20 to 25-yard gain. He had the receiver – I mean, he had the corner broken on the inside. Ball hit him right in the hands and went right through. And I said, you got to catch that football. There's no question about it. You have to catch that football. And, you know, he's dropped a lot of big
especially
ones.
In the moment it was a key moment in the game, too. That was, I believe, it was a third down, too. I believe, you know, definitely need to catch that. That's when they were coming back for that, for one of the drives. They were trying to, you know, come back to get when they needed that play, and he just definitely did not catch that ball like he needed to step up and do.
Yeah, I mean, the clock was running. You know, that would have been a first down easily. And, look, Brandon LaFell, we've seen it. When he gets the ball in his hand, he can make some things happen. You don't know. He could have taken that thing all the way to the house. Because I'm telling you, I saw it. He had the inside leverage. He had the corner beat. He was going to slip right in between the corner and the safety who was coming converging in. He would have slipped that tackle, and he would have taken it. He could have taken it 45 yards. You know what I mean? It was – and, you know, maybe he turned his head a little early and tried to run before he caught the ball, but still. I mean, he had several critical drops in the game, and – He has to step it up because, I mean, think about it. If you got a guy, if you got a LaFell and then an Amendola and James White can do his thing and then Keyshawn Martin and Scott Chandler give you what they gave you tonight, I mean, that's still a pretty good offense. It's not Edelman, Gronk, Amendola, Deion Lewis, but it's, you know, it's still a pretty potent offense that, I mean, you put up 28 points with nobody out there. I mean, if you want to look at it on the bright side, you put up 28 points and your best player on the field was James White. So, I mean, you can look at it either way. You got to get the bodies back. You got to get Brandon LaFell stepping up and actually catching the football. Like, you play wide receiver in the NFL, catch the football. That's my huge thing. I'm starting to get sick of him. And I think that if this continues, he won't be on the team next year. There's no way. Belichick will get him out of here fast.
I don't know. I think he'll be on the team. I think he does have good chemistry with Brady. Just needs, you know, the drops are becoming a bit of an issue. But I think overall, he's, you know, not getting paid too much. With, you know, plays a good role in the offense when everyone's healthy, adds that different dimension to it. Right now, I think they're trying to make him, you know, the guy, that key player they need on offense, which, you know, he won't be able to do. He'll never be a true number one receiver in the NFL. It's what he is. He's, you know, a second, third option on the team. And he's a very good second and third option, in my opinion. I don't know. Last year, we didn't really see this last year out of him. The drops. I don't know what it is this year. No, either still. You know, that first week or two coming back off the PUP list, all right, it's understandable to a degree. But now, at this point, it's played, what, 6-7 games now. He needs to stop doing that. He needs to hold on to the ball and needs to improve.
Yeah, look, I don't want to say, like, oh, I knew this was going to happen or anything like that, but I do remember hearing when we signed Brandon LaFell that he did have some issues with drops in Carolina. Now, could that be because Cam Newton's not the most accurate passer? I think that's what a lot of people were thinking. Like, yeah, he dropped some balls, but Cam Newton didn't put it in the right spot for him or whatever. But you're right. We didn't see it from him last year. So I'm not sure if, you know, what's different this year. And like you said, it can't still be Russ. He's played 6 or 7 games since he came back from the PUP list. This has got to stop. You can't keep dropping the ball like this, especially in critical situations like that. If Brady's going to continue to throw him the football, you know, he's going to have to – and I give him a pass on those long bombs because I've got an issue with that anyway. I've got an issue with the play calling and how, you know, for some reason, Josh McDaniels thinks that throwing the ball over the top is the way to beat defenses that you could very easily cut up down the middle. I have no idea what he's thinking, you know, over the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I completely – we don't have a Randy Moss anymore. We don't have a deep target to go downfield. Brandon LaFell is not a deep – he's not a deep threat. And I just hate that. I've been hating McDaniel's play calling these past 2 weeks. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, like overall, you don't have that guy, like you said.
Yeah, it's not even just with that, you know, the deep balls. I hated the execution at the end of the second quarter. How they, you know, they start running the ball, oh, then they're gonna start picking up the pace, start throwing it, and start running it again. So you have it was a little bit less than 2 minutes, I believe, 1:30 around there, then two timeouts. I believe they had. I could be wrong, but
no, but you're right. You're right. And I thought they were gonna go in, and I thought they were gonna drive down and score a touchdown. That's what I thought they were gonna do.
I thought they were going to either drive down, try getting at least three, go in with, you know, at that time it would have been a 17-7 lead, then get the ball after the half, which we've seen them do so many times. And they come out, start running the ball. Overall, it worked out pretty well for them with the plays they were running. I was surprised because I think Philly was even expecting them to try and go out there and try throwing the ball and moving it down the field. I think the first play was, I think, an 11-yard run by Blount. Then I think it was like 8 or 9 yard little like screen dump off to either Bolden or White or somebody. It's when they started to throw the ball a little bit, but still had the clock running. I think they just did not execute well with that. I don't think they fully had the plan or idea of what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like you said, I'm not sure what they were thinking. I'm not sure really how they thought. I felt like they were unsure of how to attack that last minute 30, like they were like, okay, we're just gonna go into the half with the 14-7 lead, make some adjustments and see what we're doing. They make a couple, you know, like you said, 9-10 yard gains and go, okay, actually maybe we can score. And then when they make a couple bad plays and realize that they can't score, they go, oh, okay, we'll just run the ball, we'll run the clock out. Oh, and then what happens with 8 seconds left? They block a punt and score a touchdown, and now it's 14-14 going into the half. And you've lost all momentum, and you know, you have no idea at that point. I'm like, okay, well, you know, at least if you tried to attack the ball and threw the ball down the field and tried to make some things happen, you know, maybe you're not in that position to punt the ball. Maybe you, I don't know, maybe you run the clock down a little further. I'm not sure. The play calling, like you said, you know, I've had issues with it over the past couple weeks, really. I feel like they're going away from what they, you know, what they're good at. Now, granted, you know, they obviously don't have everybody there. You know, Edelman's not there. Deion Lewis isn't there. Gronk isn't there right now. So, obviously, you can't attack the same way that you've been attacking, you know, but you're not even seeing similar formations anymore. You're not seeing, you know, multiple tight end sets, you know, bringing in extra linemen, you know, bunching guys up on one side of the field. You're not seeing any of that. I feel like they're just lining up with three wide receivers and trying to make things happen. Three receivers, one running back, maybe a tight end, or maybe Chandler's out wide or whatever. But they're not switching it up. They don't have the formation versatility that you've seen. I mean, you remember they were rolling out four tight end sets at the beginning of the season. And, you know, I know you don't have the same four tight ends out there, but you could still line up the formation and maybe you can catch somebody off guard. You can make some things happen. I feel like they're just running out there with the same formations. They're out there. I don't know. I don't understand what Josh McDaniels is thinking right now.
I'm not sure they're trying to just, you know, implement new little playbooks in there with, you know, with the amount of injuries and new guys they have coming in, trying to expand different roles, trying to, you know, just do different things. Like you said, it's different. You know, three wide sets we're seeing. You know, we wouldn't hardly ever see that. We wouldn't see a trips left formation with the Patriots. I don't understand it either. You know, especially. You know, we talked about that last drive. You know, just overall, the play calling just has not been well. It just has not been good, in my opinion. You know, I think they should have been running the ball a lot more tonight than they did overall. Right? You know, let them. But did, you know, started leading them back towards the end. You know, didn't have had, you know, maybe one of, you know, one more guy out there to help him could have been, or, you know, for Edelman or Gronk, you know, could have been a different story if he didn't get hit 15 times. Could have been a different story. But that's part of the thing also. We're having, what's his name? I can't think of his name at the moment. He's got Mason out there. He's been getting beat in pass protection so much. And,
yep.
You know, he's coming from Georgia Tech where they'd run that triple option. You run the ball when you have him out there. He's a great run blocker, terrible pass blocker. He's part of the, I saw him out there sometimes tonight, and he's getting killed. Play your strength of who you have out there. No, you don't have, you know, Brady's still the best quarterback in the league, in my opinion, and many others. But right now, you have his three top targets from this year all hurt, not playing. You have, you know, a beat up, injured offensive line. rotating guys in. You have guys play to your strengths. You know, run the ball a little bit more with Blount, who was running the ball pretty well. Run it with Bolden, who did all right. You said earlier, averaging around 7 yards a carry. You know, I just think overall it has not been handled well by Josh McDaniels, especially these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, like one of the things that I always thought made, you know, the Josh McDaniels / Bill Belichick / Tom Brady offense so great is, you know, you did run out those like 3-4 tight end sets or whatever, and then a guy like Michael Williams, who weighs 300 pounds but wears number 85, maybe makes a catch. You know what I mean? Like at this point with these kind of injuries, maybe you try stuff like that and you try to get Michael Williams, who's, you know, maybe guys aren't paying attention to because he's a huge guy, 300 pounds. Maybe he slips through like a Nate Solder type, you know, chip blocks and then gets out and makes a pass, makes a catch. You know, I feel like you need to try things like that when you have these kinds of injuries, maybe, and stick with, like I said, I just don't know what the, like you said, we don't see trips left from the Patriots. We don't see, you know, a three wide receiver set, you know, 40-50% of the time like we did in 2007. We have different personnel out there. We got, you know, big tight ends and big, you know, swing tackles and, you know, guys like Jack Mason who can play fullback. You know what I mean? So, like you said, play to your strengths. Run the football. Bring in three tight ends and slam the ball down Philly's throat. You know what I mean? With LeGarrette Blount, Shaq Mason playing fullback. You know, you could have killed the clock. You could have kept them off the field even more. You know, and I think, you know, you would have had a better chance to win the game, to be honest. I mean, you know, Shaq Mason maybe in pass coverage, I think I heard you mention that. That might have had something to do with Josh Klein at one point, but I agree with you. You can't have him in there in critical passing situations if you don't have to. And, you know, he ran the triple option. Like you said, run the football behind him. He clearly can slam people to the ground. He's 300-something pounds. He's huge. He can move pretty well for a big guy. You know, you've seen him play fullback. You've seen him play tackle on both ends. You've seen him swing out and do a lot of things. So, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not understanding the play calling over the past few weeks. They're definitely going to have to turn things around. They're coming in. They're playing a Houston team who has a strong defense. You know, not much on offense. DeAndre Hopkins is the guy. You know, average quarterback in Brian Hoyer. Average running back in Alfred Blue. You know, below average offensive line, I would say. So, they don't have too many weapons on offense, but listen, neither did the Eagles, really. And they still beat you. They beat you on special teams, and they beat you playing, you know, better defense. So, the Patriots got a lot of things to work on, you know, changing things up this week, you know, in practice. I hope Bill Belichick runs them into the ground, getting them ready for this game. Because I think he's going to have to. I think, you know, with the amount of injuries, you got to drill it into these guys' heads that, listen, the guys that are here are the guys that are going to play. And those guys need to step up and actually make plays, you know, and not drop passes and not miss blocks and not, you know, give up punt return touchdowns and not, and all this stuff. You got to, you know what I mean? You got to make play. You got to, what does he say? Do your job. You got to do your job and you got to do it well. And that's what's got to happen. Bill, before we get out of here, what's your pick for next week? Do you think it's going to be a blowout? You think it's going to be a close one? What are you thinking for Pats Houston? Which, by the way, those of you who don't know, has been flexed into the Sunday night game. So that's another 8:30 start for us on Sunday night.
It'll be tough. You know, I think we'll be key, you know, see how injuries can come back. You know, maybe we can get Hightower back, maybe get Gronk back. I don't know. I think it'll be a good game. I think the scoreboard will show. I think it'll be look more of a blowout on the scoreboard than it'll actually be. I think we'll end up maybe causing some defensive turnovers that we didn't do at all tonight. You know, get some good field advantage towards the end. I think maybe around like a 31-17 score, New England. And I'm really hoping for that because they really need to come back and step up.
Yeah, I agree in premise. I think, you know, it's going to be a confidence building game. I guess I have like a caveat. I guess if Dont'a Hightower plays, I'm picking 35-7. I think they're going to absolutely blow him out. If Hightower's on the field and they got a fully, let's say, you know, quote-unquote, fully healthy defense out there, Collins, Hightower, all those guys, I think they blow him out, absolutely. Hightower doesn't play, you know, maybe, you know, Gronk doesn't play. Even if Gronk doesn't play and Hightower does, I still think you win by a lot. Overall, I'm going to say 35-10. That's what I'm going to say for the score, 35-10. I think they're going to blow them out. I think it really will be a blowout. I think it's going to be a comeback game. I think Belichick is going to make it clear to these guys that, listen, we have to win every single game from here on out, and we can't put that in doubt in any way. We can't mess up on special teams. We can't mess up on defense. We can't mess up on offense. We got to be in sync in all three phases. We got to make things happen. So I think next week they prove that. They go down to Houston and win 35-10. With that being said, Bill, always a pleasure. My name is Michael Long. Thank you guys for listening to the CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show. You can catch us next week, late night, after the Sunday night game. I'm sure we'll get started probably around 11:30 midnight or so. For those of you driving home from the game and doing all those sorts of things, you can surely tune in and listen to us here on the CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show. So for Bill Bodell, my name is Michael Longy, and thank you guys so much for listening.
Internet Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.